He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday. It is the Tuesday, November 28th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. We got a quiet day going on in the market. I got a feeling that December may be, there's usually some window dressing. Maybe it will pick up. But right now it's still pretty slow. The Nasdaq's down 19 points right now, 14,222. The Dow is down 3, 35,330. The S&P 500 is down 6 to 4,544. Just got about 4 weeks left. With that target price, we're at 45.44 right now in the S&P 500. And there's a new target price out today that we'll get to, I think, from UBS. The Russell 2000 is down 11 points right now. That puts it at 1,790. Crude oil is up 49 cents. I think Saudi Arabia is going to turn the heat up for a production cut at their meeting coming up. Crude oil is at $75.35. Gold is up $13 to $20.26. The 10-year is flat at 4.38%, 4.39% right now. It's all quiet on the Eastern Front so far in the markets today. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. We are a nationwide, fee-based only money management firm. And we want to welcome Houston. I believe it's Houston that we started yesterday, and Cleveland will be next Monday, or vice versa. I'm sorry if I have it wrong. But we want to welcome our new listeners. And we're going to do our best to keep you apprised of what is happening in the markets on a daily basis. Hopefully we can provide some useful information for you. It's fresh every single day. I spend 2 hours every morning before I do the show. Before we do the show, we spend 2 hours taking a look at any stories that have happened in the market of note since we did the show yesterday. So that's the kind of work that goes into this. We look underneath the surface too. We don't just look at the headlines. Well, it's kind of a mixed day yesterday in the markets. The Dow was up a little. The Nasdaq was down a little. Our funds were basically dead flat on the day. The 10-year was down 8 basis points yesterday. And the two stocks that stood out to me, actually three, Cyber Monday and Black Friday winner, I would say, were Shopify and Amazon. Amazon broke out a little bit yesterday. And also I saw some good action in Deckers Outdoor, which is a smaller stock that we own in our Ultra Growth portfolio. They're doing very well with their new running shoe, the Hoka running shoe. That's about their fifth brand that they've come up with. That is a big winner. Elf also had a good day yesterday.
Yeah.
That's a very, very fast-growing cosmetic company, that one of the fastest-growing stocks in the market right now. But it's also on that higher risk side of the ledger. I haven't seen any results yet from Cyber Monday, but I'm sure people were buying. Shop until you drop. Friday was the Black Friday, which is more of the bricks and mortar version of all of that. We're getting housing data in here today. We're going to get some consumer data. And, you know, I saw some interesting speeches being given today here. Barry, this is the one that caught my eye. You have, it's Austin Goolsbee, who was a big, in Obama's cabinet as the over the economy, and he's also now a member of the Fed.
Yeah, Chicago Fed president. Yep.
He's going to speak on who owns Midwest farmland and why. I wonder if he'll get into why the Chinese balloon was circling over Midwest farmland, right? That kind of just disappeared not too far from where I live, just off of Myrtle Beach. But I would like to understand who owns the Midwest. We know that Bill Gates is the biggest private owner of farmland, and we know that the Chinese own quite a bit of our farmland. So anyways, Goolsbee, I think, is speaking right now. Case Shiller has come in.
We got a handful of those, too. I mean, you got Christopher Waller speaking. You got Michelle Bowman, another Fed governor, and then Michael Barr will speak. So we got four different voices from the Fed.
Oh, good.
On top of the Case Shiller index and consumer confidence. I think that number literally just came out while we were coming on air.
Okay. Well, you can check that one during the break. Now, there's a little in the introduction to the market today in Seeking Alpha, it says that the Dow, S&P, and the NASDAQ are all hovering near overbought readings on the RSI indicator. That's the relative strength indicator. I mentioned that in my newsletter last week from a technical point of view.
Right.
And you can see it here pretty easily if you look at the S&P 500. We're running into the high that we hit in late July. So the market was on a roll. It started in early January, and it really never looked back until late July. And it was also very focused in a handful of stocks, the Magnificent Seven and maybe a few outside of that little circle. And then all of a sudden, in late July, something happened, and it was basically a change in tone at the Fed when the market had kind of been looking forward to maybe some rate cuts. Instead, we started hearing higher for longer. The inflation remained kind of stubborn, but it was definitely coming down. But that talk, and I would say all the debt that came to the market, you had a pretty steep correction in the S&P 500. The S&P 500 went down about 10 to 11%. The NASDAQ went down more than that, about 15%. Everything kind of bottomed in late October. And this totally matches with what the Fed has been saying. Then the Fed turned more dovish in late October, and he started talking about, well, this might be the end of the rate hikes. And, of course, inflation was showing much lower numbers. So now we've rallied back to that high that we set in July. But from a technical point of view, we look at that as a resistance level. You hit that old high, and now we're backing off of that old high. And you can say the same thing about the NASDAQ right now. You can say the same thing about the Dow. And with just 4 weeks left in the year, a little over 4 weeks, it's kind of hard for me to see the market making much progress. Unless we see a lot of that window dressing, sometimes the last 2 weeks of December, some of these funds that missed out, especially the mutual funds that missed out on a lot of the big winners this year, they'll buy them in the last couple of weeks of December.
Yeah, so they can show that they hold them at the end of the year or at the end of a quarter a lot of times, right?
Yeah. So when you look at their 10 largest holdings and you see NVIDIA and AMD and Microsoft, et cetera, they can say, see, no, you just bought them 2 weeks ago, so things look good. Let's look at your bottom line performance for the year, and that will tell me whether or not you own those stocks during the vast part of the year. But now we're also hovering near overbought on that RSI indicator, which is one of the many technical indicators out there in the market. Home prices rise slightly less. You know, I just had a feeling that my home has cooled off, Barry, especially here in November.
Was it the weather?
I've had to turn the heat up, but, you know, that torrid run of home prices and seeing that equity build, and we've had a pretty good couple of years in that Case-Shiller home price index, actually about 5 years just red hot returns. And then,
certainly
of course,
in our neck of the woods. Yeah.
Yes, I mean, in our neck of the woods, we're on the receiving end of folks. Last night I was at one of the local barbecue joints, which I'm known to frequent from time to time. And there were some newbies. They couldn't figure out the line, and I kind of gave them some directions and got talking to them a little bit like I'm apt to do. They were just arriving here from New Hampshire, which, you know, they're one of the first ones to vote up there in New Hampshire. It's always a state you want to win if you're in the primaries. And I said, "Are you snowbirds?" They said, "Yeah, we're snowbirds." Well, okay. We've had a lot of people come here from that northeast. Especially during COVID, we had a big influx. All right, we'll be right back. How much did your home go up over the last 12 months? And welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. The market looks a little sleepy today. The Dow down 3, the NASDAQ down 15, and I haven't yet seen a lot of stocks. I haven't had a chance to really look underneath the surface. We do that in the fourth quarter of the show. Not much moving. Trading in a very narrow range here so far. Not many big winners and not any big losers either.
Yeah, pretty flat, right?
Wow, really flat. Okay, now how much did your home go up? This doesn't sound right to me, but this is what they're reporting here in Seeking Alpha. Year over year, the unadjusted composite for 20 cities gained 3.9%. I could have done better in just a two-year bond.
Market. Yeah.
Yeah, 4.8, 5%. And I had to mow the lawn and all kinds of maintenance and plumbers. And
hard to live in a bond, though. You know?
Yeah, you can't live in a bond. And, you know, air conditioning going out and things like that. 3.9%. This definitely has slowed down a lot. There's a couple big factors, obviously. One would be the 30-year mortgage, up around 7.5 to 8% in that range. That's really cooled things off, which keeps people from even putting their home on the market, especially if they're going to go out and buy a new home.
Well, yeah, you got to live somewhere. That's the difference.
Yeah, you know, most people are sitting on a 3.5, 3% loan. Why would they go sell their home and move and get a new loan at 7.5%. So that's an issue that's keeping prices up, I suppose. This is the lack of inventory. So anyways, there's still, there's still demand. The demand is out there, and that's keeping prices up. Okay, BMO Capital Markets sets their base case S&P 500 target of 5,100 for 2024.
I've so there seen are a couple of 5,000s.
Yes,
lately. Yeah,
the consensus is 5,000. That's the consensus estimate for next year. I would say that most of the consensus for this year were pretty much right, coming in around 4,500. Some were way off to the downside, and some were way off to the upside. This is their base case. We end next year at 5,100, which would give the market 12% upside from the index's current level. That would be an above-average return if they're right. So that is BMO.
Yeah.
I'd like to see where their estimate was for this year. Okay,
right, yeah.
I don't know. I'd have to go back and look through news from last year. Now, another one has come out with the target price. Their target price by the end of next year is from Barclays, which is a big bank out of the UK, 4,800. So they're 300 points lower than BMO. I was kind of surprised. Their earnings estimates for next year, they're at $233 for 2024. The consensus is more around $246. So they're well below. They're predicting a much lower rate of earnings growth next year versus the consensus, the average estimate that's out there. Now, okay, we have the Saudi Arabians urging the other countries that they would like to see a supply, a cut in production. So, you know, we're at about $75 per barrel right now. We've been in a losing streak in oil. A lot of Goldman Sachs is very bullish on oil. They say it's going to get back into the 90s. So we'll see. I mean, they will be meeting. I don't know when they're meeting. It's any day.
They pushed it back a few days, you know, from last week, and I don't know what they settled on. I'm actually checking it up. I'll check on it right now.
Yeah. So anyways, I think they probably will do another cut. Because there seems to be some soft demand out there right now. The hedge funds, I'm seeing this in showing up in the Best Stocks Now app. Hedge funds are easing up on the Magnificent Seven binge. Okay, so imagine the buffet there at the Golden Corral, right? The seven items that everybody's going for, the steak, the prime rib, the turkey, the ribs, you know, whatever. Well, that's what the market's been doing this year. But lately, you know, I would say starting about 2 months ago, we started to spread out. As of today, in the beststocksnowapp.com, I have 459 stocks ranked B+ or better. That's out of a database of 5,500. So that has increased. We were down to like just 150 B+ ranked stocks. A lot of the market, the vast majority of the market, has not participated in the advance. We've done several studies where we've showed you that you take out those seven stocks and you've got a down year in the S&P 500 and in the other indexes. But it has improved here lately. We have seen a spreading out, I would say mostly into some of the small cap growth stocks, into some of the drug stocks, beyond those seven, Magnificent Seven. And, of course, everybody was crowding into Apple, Alphabet, Amazon, Meta, Microsoft, NVIDIA, and Tesla. Goldman Sachs said that was the most intense, you know, focus of buying that they've seen in the last 22 years. But it's starting to ease up. And I'm seeing it in my own statistics that I watch every single day, which come from my Best Stocks Now app. So we have more to choose from right now, which is a good thing as we start to look ahead to the next year. Guess who the biggest delivery company is out there? Is it UPS or amazing. FedEx, Barry?
Yeah, it's amazing. None of the above.
None of the above. Amazon overtakes. Think of all the UPS and FedEx trucks.
Just think how fast they ramped that up. I mean, think about the last, you know, think when you saw your first, you know, Amazon, you know, van, right? You know, depending on your area, they used to deliver them out of just a car or an actual van. Now it's got a logo on it. And I mean, you're talking, what, maybe 5 years that they've ramped up to this level?
It's unbelievable. Yeah. They're going to, by the end of this year, have delivered 5.9 billion packages, and UPS is going to be around 3.5 or 4, somewhere in there. So not only have they become the leader, but they've by quite a wide margin now. You know what? I don't know how Amazon gets away with being the monopoly. This is the biggest monopoly of our lifetime. We've never seen anything like it before. But we do own it here at Gunders and Capital Management, and some of those packages arrived on my doorstep.
Mine too.
Okay, now when we come back, which is better, Lilly's weight loss drug or Novo Nordisk? Well, we own them both, But one is far superior as far as the results show. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Dow up about 40, the NASDAQ down 20. As you know, look, technical analysis is just part of the overall, different criteria we look at in the market. But there's a lot of big institutions and whatnot that also look at it. And follow it, and a lot of them are backing off the accelerator here. You know, you had the market hit new highs in July, and then you had a steep correction, a steep sell-off. We bottomed about 3 or 4 weeks ago when it looked like we could continue to really break through the support levels. Instead, we bounced off of there on a dovish talk from the Fed, and now we're back to the old highs. And that's called resistance that we're now hitting. And we're hitting valuation resistance. We're hitting a forward P.E. ratio of about 18.8, where the market starts getting a little bit nervous at this level. This has been the top in the valuation level. So I don't look for a lot to happen between now and the end of the year. I see a quiet finish to 2024, hanging on to our big gains for the year, I guess, is job number one, and looking for new opportunities as the market spreads out a little bit away from those seven big ones. And, you know, one of the areas that has been non-tech, non-Magnificent Seven, for me, this has been one of the big stories of the year, have been the two weight loss drugs that have come along. You know, it's you see Weight Watchers now starting to adopt. Some people are being shamed, like, you're cheating by taking Lilly's drugs.
Doing it the easy way? Is that kind
of
the,
but it's kind of, you know what?
It's like steroids in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, I believe in what works, okay? It doesn't seem to me that just judging, you know, the world at large, Americans, whatever the case may be, that, you know, most diets don't work. They may work for a short period of time. But as far as lasting results, and I have seen stunning results, just absolutely stunning results from people I know that have been on Lilly's drug. And I've been told, I have a friend, a good friend, that's he worked in the drug industry all his life. He's been a biotech CEO. He's the one that kind of first started telling me about, or we began this discussion. I said, "What? You know, I'm really watching these weight loss drugs." Oh, he says, "I know a lot about the weight loss drug," and he told me that Lilly's drug is much better. Now we're getting real world studies that you're more likely to cause a 15% weight reduction. So if you weigh 150 pounds, you're going to drop 23 pounds. If you weigh 200 pounds, you're going to drop 30 pounds. If you weigh 300 pounds, that's 45 pounds, okay? You're three times more likely to cause a 15% weight reduction with Lilly's drug versus Novo Nordisk drug. So that is the first of its kind real-world study. That's how new this whole revolution in weight loss and the weight loss drugs. And how do they work? They work on your mind. They take away your craving. constant craving in some cases for, especially this time of year, peanut brittle, fudge, you know, all the cookies, Christmas cookies and this and that. So you've got a very new player here with Novo Nordisk weight loss and diabetes drugs, Wegovy and Ozempic. And then you've got Lilly's drug, which they named, it was Tirzepatide. Now it's called Zeptide or Zepbound?
Zepbound was the, yeah, that Zepbound was the name.
It was Mounjaro.
Yeah.
And then they decided on, well, we're going to brand it. When they got the approval recently to use it for weight loss, even though they've been doing it for quite some time. So, you know what? Look, I mean, let's just look at Lilly through the eyes of the Best Stocks Now app, which, man, I'm just blown away by how good. I hope you get a chance to use it. They're Barry on the look, and it's just clean. And I spent a lot of time with the developers getting this thing right because, you know, I use it all the time.
Yeah.
Lilly. Okay, let's begin with Lilly.
That's a starting point.
Yes. What do we learn from the app? It's $500 billion in market cap. Of course, it's out of the pride of Indianapolis, Indiana. It's a large cap, obviously. I have it in the growth and income risk profile because they are a growth stock that also happens to pay a dividend. Their annual revenue, $25 billion. They've got a pretty rich P.E. ratio right now, but we're more worried about the next 5 years than I think the past 5 years and what this drug can do. Some think, and I tend to agree, that this could be the biggest drug of all time, both of these drugs. Okay, if we do evaluation on the stock, this is critical. This is built into the Best Stocks Now app. The valuation, this is my formula that I came up with, that I was taught many years ago by a big mutual fund manager for coming up with five-year valuations as opposed to 3 months, 6 months, which is really unpredictable. I have 90% upside potential, which is in my buy range. I like 75 or 80% or more. A 90% upside potential over the next 5 years in Lilly, which gives it a value grade of A-. Now we look at performance, which is the other half of the equation. This stock is up 63% over the last 12 months, while the S&P is up 13%. And then you can look at how it's done over the last 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. This is an A-plus performance grade. This is one of the best performing stocks in the entire market. Why do I look at performance? Because you can find a stock that looks undervalued. Oh, it's got 90% upside potential, your numbers show you. And then you look at the performance and the stock hasn't gone anywhere for years. That tells you something. So I'm a guy who likes to combine my valuation with performance also. I like both of those. And so right now, Lilly is ranked out of 5,468 stocks, number 18, which makes it, you know, it's been number one here. A month ago it was number one, a year ago it was number five rank. So that ranking is also very, very important. So there you go, there's Lilly. Okay, now we go, in my opinion, you know, I've just watched her over the years. I like to follow people that are right most of the time, more often than not. I very rarely agree with Kathy Wood at ARK Funds. She's talking up the bull case on SpaceX. Well, the worst performing sector this year has been the space. There's an ETF full of space stocks, which there's numerous space stocks. So that's a relatively new holding in her ARK Venture Fund. I guess she's able to buy shares of SpaceX. It is a private company. And, of course, SpaceX has deployed thousands of Starlink satellites into orbit. I do have a Starlink as a backup just in case something were to happen to the Internet. I have my dish that I point to the sky. I can take it with me. Pick up the internet. But so she's talking up the SpaceX and the space docks. I just think that's, that might be the only good one. But all of this private trips to the moon, colonizing the cosmos and this kind of stuff, that's why the space ETF is one of the bottom ranked. That's another thing, the beauty of the Best Stocks Now app. I believe out of 66 sectors, that's ranked at the bottom. It's number 66. Well,
and that's the epitome, right, of long-duration stocks, which do not perform well whenever interest rates are elevated.
No. I mean, long-duration, how long does it take to get to Mars in one of those spaceships, to the moon?
I think we may be out of my window.
Well, if you just want to stay on the Earth, you can now lease a Rivian. Okay, now I'd rather do that than... I just don't know that Rivian's going to be around to service my car. Of course, they don't need the servicing that your combustion engines do. But is Rivian going to be around 3 or 4 years from now? Well, you can lease one. Try it for a year. The lease options start at $900 per month. So there you go, Barry. I know you've been looking at those Rivians. They are pretty cool looking. $900. I remember when my apartment was $900 per month.
Right?
Yeah. Now it's just a pickup truck. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Very narrow range in all of the indexes. There's nothing that's really down that much today, and there's nothing that's really up. But I do see one that catches my eye. And I would say this. We're going to look at it through the eyes of the BestStocksNowApp.com. If you were going to own one Chinese stock, it used to be Alibaba. You know, Alibaba was a really good stock. It was the Amazon of China until somehow Jack Ma, fell out of favor with the Chinese Communist Party. He disappeared for a long time, and the stock has never been the same. I mean, Alibaba is a very poor performer. Baidu's pretty much a poor performer. The best
similar
performer.
Thing happened to JD.com.
Yes, JD.com. By far, the best one is PDD.
We've written about that one in the past. I saw that story.
Yes,
today.
Yeah. And PDD is hitting a new 52-week high. It's the stock of the day. It looks like a SpaceX liftoff. That's what the chart looks like. Bam! It's up 18% today.
A successful one.
Now, even before today, all right, so if I'm looking at the ranking of this stock recently in the Best Stocks Now app, 2 months ago it was ranked number 127 out of 5,500. A month ago it was ranked number 16. A week ago it was ranked number 2. Yesterday it was ranked number 10. Now, that ranking is based on two things. The ranking is based on valuation, which is critical. I spent the first several years of my career, I did do a lot of quite a few analyst research reports, visiting companies and writing up research reports and coming up with valuations on those companies that I wrote about. So that's one of my strong suits, is doing valuations on companies. The valuation right now on PDD, I do 5-year target prices. I have 94% upside potential. That was as of yesterday. That doesn't include today's. The stock, I think, is up 15 or 16% right now. So it's one of the top undervalued stocks out there, valuation, A-minus value grade. And then I look at the performance of these stocks to check the momentum side of the equation. PDD is up 76% over the last 12 months, while the S&P is up 13%. And since it came public a little over 5 years ago, the stock has averaged a return of 44% per year, while the market's been 13% per year. So it also has a very strong momentum grade. And overall, like I say, yesterday was ranked number 22 out of 5,468. It's a large cap. It's $155 billion, one of the biggest companies in China. What do? Well, you know, a little bit of everything. But I'm going to say its closest comparable would be Amazon. They provide third-party mobile e-commerce platforms. So they're more into the platform as opposed to actually sell. They're kind of the engine that runs Alibaba, I suppose, with, you know, for buyers. We don't own PDD. I kind of gave up on Chinese stocks quite some time ago because there was just so many unpredictable things that would come along in them. And you do have an extra degree of risk. But if I were going to own a Chinese stock, PDD, trading at a PE of 22 compared to Amazon's PE of 77, PDD, Pinduoduo is the name of the stock, would be the one that I would own. And it's the stock of the day. It's up right now.
17% the last
time
I saw it.
Yeah, it's not in any of our indexes, obviously. How does it compare with Alibaba in market cap? It's $200 billion today. It's the same as Alibaba now.
That's pretty amazing.
And Baidu, yeah, because PDD came public. You wrote an article on PDD.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we wrote one. I want to say it's probably been close to 2 years now, but it's just an interesting you know, interesting stock, and just you know, the technology that they use, you know, tied to phones, and there's a lot of phones in China.
Yes, so, yeah, that's a lot of cell phones in China. It's a big market for Apple, and then they have their own brands of phones that I'm sure have a little bit of our technology in them.
And oil. You see, well, the other mover today is oil, and that OPEC meeting is going to be on the 30th. So we've got 2 days, I guess it'll be on Thursday.
Oh, okay. So, and we don't really know. I think they probably delayed it because of what's going on.
I would imagine, yeah.
In Israel. And, hey, I looked at PDD. You know, we still tip ranks people like us that write. Out of 28,000 financial bloggers, which we fit in that category, we're ranked number 795. That puts us in the top 3.5%.
Last time I checked, yeah.
And then they look at all of the experts out there, which goes out to the wirehouses and the big firms. We're 1,200 out of 36,000, which also puts us in the top 3.5%. You might want to subscribe to our podcast. It comes out. We do this show live every single day at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and then it's uploaded to all the podcast sites. If you miss a show, you've missed something very important that we've said during that show. That's what we strive for. And, you know, I mean, the results, you can go to Tip Ranks and type in Bill Gunderson and see for yourself. That's a totally independent. I have nothing to do with them whatsoever. Agency. Now, if you'd like to get 2 free weeks of our newsletter, see how our newsletter has done. We have 5 portfolios in there, a bond portfolio, a couple of growth portfolios. We're pretty proud of how they have performed here in 2023. We're getting geared up for next year. Our predictions for next year, the stocks that we own are in the newsletter. You can get 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. What is the top 2 or 3% of all the analysts out there saying about the market now, and what are we buying? What are we selling now? We give you 2 free weeks look at the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. And if you'd like to talk to us and set up an appointment about applying some of our portfolios to your retirement plans or your portfolios, that's what we do. We manage money on a fee basis. Give us a call at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.